Hello, welcome to the Lean on Plants podcast. My name is Chelsea, and if you are struggling to lose weight on a plant-based diet, then this podcast is for you. While there are thousands of books, podcasts, and resources about the benefits of a plant-based diet, the reality is that being vegan does not guarantee losing weight. If you are feeling frustrated and confused about where to start, or you know exactly what you should be doing, but you just can't seem to rustle up enough willpower to do it, then keep listening. In this podcast, you'll learn the truth about plant-based weight loss, but just as importantly, how to use proven methods of behavioral change to turn what you know into lifelong habits that lead to getting and staying lean. Can't wait to get started. Let's do this. Trace, I'm so flippin' excited to have you on the show, Trace. And you are someone who exudes so much positivity. You've got so much optimism, which is also very understandable because after 15 years of dieting, you're now at your goal weight.
I'm at my goal weight.
You're at your goal weight, which is absolutely crazy. So we're going to talk about that today. How you got there, what changed for you. And that it didn't really take a long time either. It took only about like 14 weeks.
14 weeks. 15 years and 14 weeks.
15 years and 14 weeks. I know what one I'd choose. Let's get into a little bit about your origin story. Tell me a little bit about your dieting history and what led you to joining Lean of Plants.
Yeah, this is a great story. I mean, it has a happy ending already. Spoiler alert, happy ending. Okay. I did grow up thin, but in a family full of people who struggled with their weight. So I was kind of like, they'd be like, oh, your metabolism, you can eat anything. And so the problem was I didn't learn healthy habits. And I ate the same way that the rest of my family did. Of course, they were always like, oh, it's going to catch up with you. And catch up it did. You know, you get older, you get a little less active or whatever. So it did end up catching up. And when that happened, I tried a laundry list of things. I tried exercise. I went through the South Beach diet, which was basically limiting your carbs. I went through Beachbody. They had like a 21-day fix where you actually measure containers. So it's kind of based on limited volume of each food type. I tried more exercise. I tried juice fasts and other cleanses. I tried being vegan. I went fully raw. I went raw till 4. Then I went to counting macros. And then I went with more exercise.
Oh my goodness.
And I kept failing. I tried and tried and tried and kept failing at counting macros for a couple of years. Years of trying and failing at counting macros, because that was the most recent thing that I had tried. And that was just exhausting. Mm. And what changed for me, Chelsea, was you did. I felt like this was a totally random thing because I stumbled across a thing called, like, it was like a potato challenge or the potato diet or something like that. And I remember texting my girlfriend and asked her, I'm like, this is just too crazy for me to try. She was like, what is the point of the potato diet? Right. So in order to give her a reasonably sane answer so that I sounded sane, I had to look into it. And as I did, two things happened. One, I actually learned a lot about the power of potatoes and starches and diet in general. Mm. And two, I came across your YouTube channel and you were talking about a 50-50 plate and just that whole concept of filling your plate, half of it with vegetables and eating foods that are low in calorie density. And all of that, it just, it really resonated with me. So I'm like, well, what do I have to lose? I'll try it. And in 1 week, I had lost some weight while literally stuffing my face with food and walking away from my meals, finally feeling satisfied and satiated. And I was just blown away. And I felt like, I'm like, I just found the missing key. I just stumbled upon the mystery of life. And then the concepts were so simple. It was completely it was so logical.
Eureka.
And I'm like, why have I never done this before? Why is it I'm first now learning about this in this way for the first time in my life? And so getting the results like from your YouTube channel, like that was one thing. And I knew that I could continue, but I also realized at a deeper level, I needed a community. So, so that's when I reached out and joined your Lean with Plants program. And I am so glad that I did.
Yeah. So it's a wild kind of story to go from low carb diets, lots of restriction, to then, like you say, stuffing your face with potatoes and actually seeing results. Walk me through your past dieting experience. How did that compare? Did you feel any restriction? Did you lose weight and then gain it back? What were some of the themes that you noticed in the many diets that you tried?
Oh yeah. I truly experienced that whole yo-yo thing. I had to really get fierce with my discipline in order to feel successful on all of those past diets. I mean, I remember just missing out on, I want a cracker, or, you know, I mean, I was restricting myself so much that all I could think about was the food I couldn't have. All I could think about was, oh man, I'm so hungry. When is my next meal? And I had to apply so much discipline that it was an exhausting effort. And then I would finally, you know, lose some weight and I'd be like, yay, I'm there. Now I can loosen up the reins. And as you know, you loosen up the reins and you start gaining again. It's like, I can't live in this restrictive place. So I'm going to go find a new diet.
Right. And what did you put it down to? What did you think was the reason that you couldn't sustain it?
Oh yeah. I was a loser. Big time loser. Something was wrong with me, because other people had results and, you know, they would have success and sometimes they would keep it off, but I couldn't. So it's probably me, which is a really difficult place to be as an optimistic person, to have those feelings about yourself. It's like everything around you, every person, every circumstance around you, you can look at through the rosy lens. But when you turn the lens on yourself, you're a loser. And it was really hard. I kind of went through some depressive moments in my life and kind of had to struggle through that. And then I find a new diet.
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask you, how did you see that affecting your life? Constantly feeling like you were failing.
It was incredibly frustrating. I truly thought that the problem was me, and that affects everything in your life. Like, you know, who you see yourself to be impacts everything about you, how you present yourself, what you think you can accomplish, whether it's in, you know, in diet or life or work or relationships. I started to see myself, I sucked as a human being, you know, and I was really struggling through that even with my relationships. You know, I'm not worthy, you know, all those things that come with kind of a low self-esteem, you know, that's what I was struggling with. I wasn't worthy. Golly, saying those words out loud, like I wasn't even, I think just now I'm realizing that's how I felt. I wasn't worthy. Darn it, Chelsea. I told myself I'm not going to cry on your podcast.
Oh my goodness. I remember those feelings as well. And it's wild kind of looking back and realizing that actually a lot of people listening to this, they're going to feel the same as you used to feel, that they think the problem is them, that they feel like a loser. They feel like they suck. They feel like they're a failure and they just can't get it together because someone else online can. Someone else is eating all the raw food and they're going to the gym every day and they're eating tiny portions. Tell me about what you believe now around food. Something's shifted where you go, hey, I was never the problem, because something has changed and now actually you are consistent. It did work. What changed?
Well, let me say it this way. When I started eating the kind of the way that you coach us to, I began to feel so much freedom, because before I was suffocating under the pressure of counting and measuring and tracking and recording and planning. And I couldn't keep up, and I couldn't do it anymore. I just couldn't do it anymore. It was just so much effort, and I was exhausting myself. And it was all I could do, just to apply all of my focus and concentration on following the plan. And all that effort wasn't even producing results anyway, at least not long lasting ones. So I was killing myself for nothing. And now, I mean, wow, like I don't even meal plan anymore. That used to consume my weeks and my weekends, was the meal planning and all of the prepping. And I don't do it at all. Because when I first joined Lean with Plants, my coach, oh, I have to do a shout out to the very lovely, very amazing Janelle. I can't believe how lucky I am to have her as my coach. Anyway, she encouraged me to eat a pound of vegetables a day. So for the first few days, I did measure until I felt confident what I knew, you know, I could tell what a pound looked like. Then I put the scale away and I stopped measuring things. I don't track meals. I don't create meal plans. I don't track anything, not volume, not calories, not macros. And after doing that for so many years, it literally feels like I'm living life unfettered. I feel like I have just been flung into the heavens. That's probably overkill. People like, okay, Trace, it's just food. But that was my whole life for so long. I buy produce once a week, and then I just assemble it in ways that sound good to me in the moment. Now, what I found was that for me, what sounds good in the moment is pretty much the same from day to day, which then just kind of leads to me being incredibly consistent. And as it turns out, the most successful people in Lean with Plants, and well, in life, maybe, are the ones who are consistent. It kind of worked in my favor. And occasionally I do mix things up, and I just kind of use your plate building technique to do it. Mm-hmm. And ta-da, here I am.
So it sounds like really the biggest changes, two things that come to mind. First one is just eating significantly more food, not restricting carbohydrates in any way, eating until you're full and satisfied. And then that just makes it so much easier to stay consistent. It's like, it's not me having to white knuckle it anymore. It's, hey, I can eat until I'm full. I don't want to binge. I don't have to try so hard because I'm not hungry. We're fighting essentially this very primal survival mechanism when we try to beat hunger every day. And we normally fail because it's a mechanism designed to keep us alive, be that a zombie apocalypse or a war. And so when we bypass that, we find it so much easier to get consistent, which is the second thing that I'm seeing is what happened with you. You get consistent over the long term, you can get long-term results.
Yeah, yeah. And plus I was eating things that I hadn't allowed myself to eat for the longest time. I remember, I think I was maybe 2 weeks in to eating like this, and I was eating oatmeal for breakfast every morning, and I could not believe it. I'm like, I'm eating oatmeal and I'm losing weight, and I'm eating potatoes and I'm losing weight. It was just like, it was absolutely mind blowing to me. And then when you start to like dig into it, it's like, well, yeah, your body's getting what it finally wants and what it needs, and you're restarting that metabolism. I mean, I have basically, you know, buried my metabolism by not eating, and it's kind of like, well, I guess we're in starvation mode. I guess we're gonna have to do whatever it takes to keep this body alive rather than thrive.
Did you find yourself, when you were eating a lot more restrictively, did you find yourself moving less because you had less energy?
Oh yeah, definitely. I was lethargic many times. I mean, unless I forced myself to get out and kind of walk, and then you start getting your blood pumping a little bit, and you could kind of go a little bit further. Yeah, I was lethargic. And that's so sad, right? It's like, you're not even allowing yourself to live because you're working so hard to just get to the to a certain weight or fit into a certain, you know, pair of pants or something. And that's resulting in you not even embracing the fullness of life anymore. It's so sad.
It is sad. And it's such a double-edged sword when it comes to restriction, because you get to a point where you restrict yourself so much, and especially if you restrict carbohydrates, that you're lower on energy. So you move less, which means that you're burning less calories, which means that even though you're eating less, you're also burning much, much, much less, which means that it gets harder to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And then counterintuitively, when we start eating more and we eat more from carbohydrates, we spontaneously move more. We have more energy. We want to go out and exercise and do those things. So we burn more calories. So even though you're eating more, you can actually lose more weight, which is crazy.
And it's so logical. It's so logical when you say it like that. And yet when you're in the depths of these different diets, you just kind of, you can't see past what's my next meal going to be to actually see that if you change some things in your diet, you won't have to wonder what your next meal is going to be. You're just going to be embracing life and living it.
Was it scary for you coming from so much restriction to start to let loose?
No, surprisingly, no. I don't know what it was, Chelsea, but when I started watching your YouTube channel, there was so much logic, and it was just simple eating concepts that I was like, she's right on, man. And so I was like, what do I have to lose? Well, all these extra pounds, but what do I have to lose, really? And it made so much sense. I'm like, it's science.
Mm.
It's the way our bodies are made. And so I was like, I don't know. It just, something clicked with me. And I jumped in with both feet. I had all this food in my pantry and food in my fridge that I was like, I'm not even going to eat that. I'm just going to follow. It wasn't even one of those things where like, well, okay, after I finish the cookies in the pantry, you know, it wasn't like that. It was like, there's something here. I got to try it. Jumped in with both feet. And what I didn't eat out of the fridge, it just went bad and I tossed it out. But I don't know. I saw something there and I jumped in and it worked right away. And I haven't looked back since. So no, it was almost like no hesitation whatsoever.
I love that. I love it when people jump in head first, because you either win or you learn. I mean, at the end of the day, we may as well just go for what we're going to go for. And then if it doesn't work, do something different. So I love that. I think it's, in terms of a life lesson, it's so much better to go in on something than it is to kind of half-ass it. And I see that with you. And then really unexpectedly, you actually lost these 18-ish, 20-ish pounds that you've been trying to lose for 15 years. You lost them in a very short period of time. And you were expecting that to be slow, but it wasn't. Like, tell me a little bit about how that felt to lose that in such a fast period of time.
You know, actually, this is going to sound really weird, especially coming from someone as you know, I'm pretty optimistic. I felt guilty. I felt guilty because I've grown up in a family who struggles with their weight.
Mm.
And I think, why me? Why am I so lucky? How come I get these fast results? And then I see other people struggle, you know? And I do have a hard time with that. Maybe it's because I'm a little bit of a softie, you know, but I don't like to see other people struggle, and I don't like to see, and it felt a little unfair to me in a sense. So I did kind of have to work through my feelings of guilt in a sense, but also I knew, and my coach Janelle kept telling me, you are so consistent. You keep up this consistency, you're going to keep seeing results. Mm. And I did. And so on the other side of the coin, it was like, I really worked for this. I not just worked for it physically in, you know, making sure that food that I didn't want to eat didn't come into the house and things like that, but I really worked through mindset. I really worked through identity. I know you have a lot of wonderful things in your program that has really helped me become what Coach Janelle and I refer to as Trace 2.0. I worked really hard for that. So I felt kind of guilty that the results kind of did come naturally, but they came naturally because I was consistent and I worked hard at it. And I feel really proud of that.
And it's what's really cool is that we can have a conversation about what that looks like, that now other people can take that on. And I really want to dive into some of those things, the habits that you formed, the consistency that you had, the mindsets that helped you to get those results fast, but also know that you're going to keep that off. Before we do that, I want to know how it felt to realize that this time those pounds weren't coming back.
I mean, okay, people listening to your podcast can't see the ginormous smile on my face, but that's what it makes me feel like. This is something that I will be doing for the rest of my life, because it not only helped me lose the weight that I wanted to lose and fit into the clothes I wanted to fit into, but even just the food aspect of things, I am fueling my body with the foods that it's designed to have, right? I mean, we aren't taught this. We're taught to eat processed foods, and we're taught to eat things that, you know, that can lead to our bodies becoming sick or broken down. So I'm not only eating things that lead to a slimmer, healthier life, but it's the things that my body wants. And on top of all of that, here's the cherry on top. It tastes really good, and it's entirely satisfying. So, I mean, I don't remember your original question, but I know that this is something I can do for the rest of my life. And it's something that will help me absolutely thrive.
Did you have an aha moment where you realize, hey, this is not just another diet. Like I'm actually going to get there and I can keep doing this compared to all the other things that you tried. Can you remember that moment?
You know, it's actually been more of a series of micro ahas. You know, a lot of the conversations that you lead during the program with our like Q&As and things like that, I get little miniature ahas in every single one of them. I get little miniature ahas just by reading posts from other community members in our group. I get miniature ahas in my conversations with Coach Janelle. I get them through some of the books that I've been reading. I get them all over the place. So it's really been an ongoing process. I think one of the little micro ahas was when I realized that I could navigate this lifestyle in social situations, because that was a really, really big thing for me. When I was trying all of those other diets, I found myself sequestering myself at home, especially like raw food. Like who can go to a restaurant and just eat raw food, you know? And why would you go? But when I realized that it is so easy to navigate in social situations, that I was like, I think I realized then that I can live life to the fullest and embrace being with friends, embrace going out with loved ones, and still hold true to the way that I want to live my life. It's like, yeah, I can do this. I can not only do this, but I can thrive.
So you've really learned how to enjoy social situations and not have that as a negative thing while still getting closer to your goals.
Oh yeah. This might seem off topic, but I'm going to come back around to this. But words carry a lot of meaning with me. And this is going to kind of play into the positivity thing as well. For me, it's not just about positive thinking, but it's also about positive speaking. Because when you hear yourself say things out loud, you it's like you're convincing yourself. You believe it. And so I will speak positively. And I even look for ways to word things that sound more appealing. Like I play little word games with myself. Like I'll try to trick myself. Because I know that one of the things we like to say in the Lean with Plants community is to embrace the weird, right? Embracing being that weird person who's weird enough to go to a restaurant and ask for something made without oil. And that's weird, right? But while weird might be what people see on the outside, it can many times manifest as feeling awkward on the inside. And that doesn't feel good. So I try to shift my mindset. And I'll be like, all right, instead of weird, I'm going to say I'm eccentric. And a lot of times it means the same thing, but let's be honest, an eccentric vibe, that feels different than weird, right? And we don't want to feel awkward, right? So I'll be like, all right, then I'm going to say I'm elite. Because I definitely like the idea of being elite over feeling awkward. And it's all in how I talk to myself. Self-talk is a big, big deal. It can make a huge difference, whether it's positive self-talk or it's negative self-talk. And even for me, the word vegan can sometimes carry negative connotations in certain circles. And so I prefer to use the phrase plant-based.
Right.
It helps me to see things in a more positive light so that then I'm attracted to that. And I can adhere to that a lot easier.
That's so fascinating. And that's a huge thing that I've seen with you. And I believe one of the reasons that you've had phenomenal results in a short period of time is that you do come at this journey with an attitude of positivity and also gratefulness. And it's been fascinating to observe that the people who intentionally do that do get better results. Because like you say, they go from saying, hey, I'm weird, this is awkward, to saying, I'm eccentric and I'm elite. And then that becomes attractive and appealing, and it becomes a positive identity as opposed to a negative one. It's the difference between being that girl who's always a pain in the butt to being that girl who stands up for herself, that girl who does what she needs to do and keeps commitments to herself and goes against the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And like we've talked about this so many times on the podcast and inside of Lean with Plants, creating that hero's identity, seeing yourself as the hero of your story. And so when I look at the results that you have, they're very predictable based on the mindsets that you've cultivated, which takes effort and work. It's not just natural. Anyone can cultivate a positive mindset when you do the work. But then also the practical. You really got consistent. You dived in head first. And so what I would recommend for anyone listening is learn from what Trace has done. We have so much data to support that having that positivity, reframing things, making it a win in your own mind gets people results. But I want to really hear from you. What are the systems? What are the practical things that you started to change that got you to where you are today?
I eat the same thing for breakfast every morning.
What is that? You got your oatmeal, right?
Yes. I do a little bit of steel cut oats because I like those instead of the roll, the flat ones. I add in beans, just plain white beans, like the cannellini beans. And it's about 50-50, about half and half, half oats, half beans. I do a seed drizzle of honey on top. And then I have a mixture of seeds. I call it my seed trifecta. And it's chia seeds, flax seeds, and hemp seeds. And then a little bit of cinnamon, mix all that up. And then I put some fresh berries on top. That's what I want every single morning. So that's one thing that's very practical. And, I think one of the things that helps me is that I don't have to think about breakfast. That's one less decision that I have to make in that day.
Yeah. Avoiding that decision fatigue, avoiding trying to think about what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I'm curious, did you ever think when you used to see people online eating oatmeal that they must have some kind of special metabolism? Because I used to think that. I was like, you guys eating oatmeal online, that's amazing for you. Lucky you, but I could never do that. My metabolism is sluggish.
I could not believe that I was eating oatmeal every day and still losing weight. It blew my mind. I couldn't believe it. It was like, what is this sorcery? Oh yeah.
So now when you see yourself, like we'll get into the practical, because I really want to, I want to give those actionable tips so people can learn from what you've done. But are you now eating in a way that, you know, people will be looking in, or if past you were looking in, you'd be like, wow, that girl's so lucky.
Probably. Just the sheer volume of food that I eat. People comment on it all the time.
You're so lucky. You're so tiny. Your tails must be great.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes.
And you're like,
What's your secret? How do you eat so much? Oh, you're so thin. Yeah.
What do you say?
I'm thin because I eat all these vegetables.
What do you say to those people?
I tell them what my secret is. I'm like, yeah, I eat a ton of vegetables. And then they're kind of like, but what's your secret? Like, no. What's the secret sauce? I'm like, no, that is it. This is it, guys. I eat a ton of vegetables. I remember specifically, it was a couple of months ago. And one of my girlfriends was like, all right, what are you doing? You look amazing. What's the secret? And she and I have kind of been a little bit on a similar journey. And I said, I'll tell you, but I don't think you're going to want to hear it. And she goes, oh no, Did you cut out meat or something? Yes, I did. And it's so funny because there are some people that they want the results that I have, but they don't want to take the journey that I took to get them. And that's okay.
Yeah, that's powerful. You want the results, but you don't want to take the journey. You have to be prepared to go on that journey.
Yeah. I don't know if this is something that you want to cut out of the podcast or not, but this is a story I got to tell you, Chelsea. I used to mentor high school girls, and it was in a Christian setting. And I remember talking to them about the story of Ruth. And Ruth, as you know, her husband dies. And typically what they would do back then is, if she didn't have another, you know, like somebody else from her mother-in-law's line to marry, she would go back home to her own people. And she refused to do it. She's like, no, you're my family now. I will stay with you. So she follows her mother-in-law to this foreign place that she's never been to in her life. And then her mother-in-law has some, what might seem to you and me, some unusual requests: go glean food from this field. And then all of a sudden they realize that the field owner, Boaz, knows who she is. And so she's like, go lay at his feet and put his blanket over you, or whatever. It's kind of whatever tradition, you know, that maybe we don't understand because we don't live in Old Testament times. But Ruth did it. Ruth didn't question, and she did it. And then Boaz ends up marrying her. He's like some rich dude that owns all these fields and everything. And she's set for life. And as a result, she also blesses her mother-in-law because she's able to now take care of her mother-in-law. So she did all of these things that were completely counterculture that people probably didn't even understand. And they're like, what is Ruth doing? But then they're like, oh man, she got the rich guy. Well, we want that, but we don't want to have to leave our family and live in a foreign land and do all these weird things that our mother-in-law asks us to get it. Hmm. We just want the results. So it's the same concept. It's like, they want what Ruth got, but they weren't willing to do what Ruth did to get it.
Oh, that, man, that just hits home, doesn't it? That story. It's funny that you mention that, because the more I go down this journey, not just in the weight loss, because the coolest thing happens after you can put weight loss in the past, you start to advance and focus on new goals in your life, because your mental space is not revolving around everything you're putting in your mouth anymore. It's like, I've done that. I've done my time. I've moved on. I mean, here we are on the podcast that's had more than 1 million people download it, which is crazy. That would have never happened if all my focus and energy had been in to how many calories was in the binge that I just had. And what I realized in this journey is we have to be prepared to leave the mindsets, the behaviors, and the actions of who we were in the past if we want a different future. Because everything that we are today is a result of the decisions that we've made and the behaviors that we have in the past. And if we want to become someone new, if we want to change the trajectory of our lives, then we're going to have to change that. We're going to have to most likely become the weird one, most likely become eccentric, most likely be misunderstood by friends and family. And that those things are required, not just a maybe that'll happen, but those are required for us to change who we are. And so if you're not prepared to change everything about your life, to let go of the past, then it's very unlikely that you're going to change as a person. And I think that this is super fascinating because it allows me at least to hold lightly to the identities that have served me in the past that may not serve me in the future, and have that flexibility to go, hey, if my coach tells me to do this and I believe in that person, I have hired them, which I do. I have a coach that told me to do something this morning. I was on a call with him and it scares me, uncomfortable to act in a different way. But I know that if I want to, I have to step out of my comfort zone. I have to leave those limiting beliefs in the past. And you've been able to do that so well, which is a huge reason that you've seen these phenomenal results. Did you know that you were doing that along the way? I mean, maybe you did because you've got this great story to highlight it.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely a point early on where I had to say, do I want to keep... It's kind of that whole definition of insanity, right? Is doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results. Like, do I want to keep doing the same, walking mm-hmm. down the same road? I know where that road ends. Or do I swallow my fear and turn the corner? And all it's going to take is a few little steps to get there. Do I find the courage to take those few little steps and see where this new road ends? I mean, there was a definite crossroads where I was like, do I embrace the courage or like just muster up the courage to take that one or two steps forward? And then those one or two steps forward, it was like, well, that didn't kill me. I'm actually still here. I've survived and I still have friends and a family and a safe home to come to at night. So why don't I take a few more steps? So I took a few more steps. And this interesting thing happens when you have to muster up the courage to take a few steps. It somehow gives you more courage to then take the next few steps, where then you gain even more courage. Like, I gain courage I gain the courage to bring my own food to events. I gain the courage to pull out a purse potato or veggies and add them to my plate at a restaurant or other public gatherings. I gain the courage to speak up and ask for things, just to take up space, as you say it. I love that concept, by the way, taking up space. But all of this confidence, it just started by taking a step, one step in a direction that I wanted to go. And that one step wasn't too hard. So I took another and another. And something that I realized while exercising courage, especially in public, is that other people want to be courageous too.
Mm.
And when they see you having courage, they're a little bit in awe of you.
Yes.
And sometimes you even gain a little more respect from people. I mean, of course, it all starts with respecting yourself. And I think that might be where the courage comes from as I'm thinking about it now. But it's just realizing, kind of coming back to that worthy, it's realizing that you're worthy of respect. So you start respecting yourself and you just kind of lean into that. And funnily enough, others start to follow. I have to tell you though, Chelsea, this courage that I have gained, it has changed my whole life, including, I don't even know if you know this, including where I live.
That's huge. I really want to hear more about this social part of it.
I used to be so afraid of making change. I have lived my entire life being risk averse. I mean, I would literally drown in, you know, the what ifs. What if this happened? What if that happened? And my husband and I used to live in Texas, here in the US. The summers there are brutally hot, triple digits on the Fahrenheit thermometer. And we had been talking for years about leaving. But every time he would start looking at houses or other places, I couldn't meet him there. I just had too many what ifs. I was too comfortable and scared and just didn't have the courage that somehow I have in me now. And I just decided to stop living my life in fear. I've wasted too many years doing that. And when we were on vacation, in the San Juan Mountains in Colorado earlier this summer. We both absolutely fell in love with the place. Mm. And I was the one that told him, I feel like I can live here. And that was not even 5 months ago. And here we are. I wake up every morning and I look out at the San Juan Mountains, and right now they're covered with snow. And it's just the most absolute, it blows my mind that I am the kind of person who would step out and make a big life change like this.
What? You moved in that time?
I am Trace 2.0. Yeah, this has changed my whole life.
That is wild. I literally have chills because that is so much bigger than just what you put in your mouth. That is wild. Heck. No, thank you for sharing that with me. That is absolutely crazy. It actually reminds me of something I saw online recently, and they said being cringy. Have you heard this online where people don't want to be cringy, or they'll sometimes comment on an Instagram post and someone will be dancing or doing something like, oh, that's so cringe. And no one wants to be awkward. No one wants to be seen as cringy or socially inept. But this person was saying being cringy is one of the best things that you can do, one of the best services you can do to yourself and others around you, because it teaches yourself that you can survive awkwardness and fear and being uncomfortable and get on with your life. You do it and you're like, you know what? I didn't die. I didn't die from putting my foot in my mouth. I didn't die from dancing in the gym. I didn't die because I took a selfie in public. And you go, hey, I can do hard things. I can start to take risks. I will survive it. But then the second thing it does is it allows other people to also step into that space, to take up space themselves. And I love that. I love that we can have that much influence in building respect for ourselves, but also showing other people, hey, if you want to be a little bit weird, if you want to be eccentric, if you want to stick to your principles, you have space to do that because I'm doing it. I'm paving the way in that. So that's exactly what you've done. You've paved that way for others and for yourself. Absolutely amazing. Let's go back a little bit into what you actually practically did, because the mindsets are huge. This is what it is. And there isn't a secret, like full disclosure to anyone here. It's eating vegetables. It's getting into a calorie deficit. It's staying consistent. It's eating those potatoes. You've got oatmeal for your breakfast. You're eliminating decision fatigue. You're making it simple. What do you do for lunch and dinner?
My lunch is almost the same every day as well.
Funny that.
I have a bowl, a salad bowl that's bigger than my head. And I fill it every single day with almost the exact same thing. I've got romaine lettuce, sometimes different spring mix or whatever. And I like to bulk it out because I want to walk away feeling comfortably stuffed. I got that phrase from you. You're in my head, by the way, Chelsea. On top of that, I put grated carrots, shaved cabbage. I put chopped up cucumber. I put some potato, cubed up potato in there, steamed potato, again, for the bulk. And I always top it off with bean mash, which I took from you as well. I found your chickpea mash recipe when I first came across your YouTube channel. And that was like, before I even joined your community, that's what I was putting in my salads every day. And I eat it still every day since. But instead of just chickpeas, I switch out different beans that I happen to have in the fridge. But it's, other than that, it's exactly the same. And it is so good. If you guys are listening to this podcast, go Google chickpea mash on Chelsea's YouTube video and you're welcome. It is so good. And then I make my own dressing and then I mix it all up. And that's what I have for lunch.
Yeah, we'll link it in the description. How about dinner?
So dinner is where I randomly pull whatever veggies or starches I have on hand and put them together. Maybe I'm hungry for broccoli one night, I'll use broccoli and sweet potato. Maybe another night I want Brussels sprouts, I'll have those with maybe some beans or rice. So I follow your 50-50 plate. But I always have chopped up veggies on hand, ready to go, because the last thing I want to do is spend my evenings after I've worked a long day and probably worked out. I'm exhausted. The last thing I want to do is just a bunch of meal prep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I've got veggies all ready to go, and I put them in my handy microwave steamer. Yes, I use a microwave. And while those are steaming, then I'm usually like putting some pre-baked sweet potatoes or yams, slicing them, throwing them in the air fryer. I don't know. I'm very whimsical when it comes to my evening meals, but I have everything prepped. So all I have to do is grab and assemble.
Mm, you do a component prep type system.
Yep, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of the people that we see who are having a lot of success do something similar because it just makes life easier.
And it should be easy, right? I mean, I have so much more life to live than putting my dinners together. So why not make that easy for you? So that then you can sit down for a meal or go for a walk or spend time with loved ones. I mean, it just makes so much sense. Where was this concept all of my life?
Yeah, I heard this thing from Chris Pratt, and he was saying when he used to eat burgers and fries and chips, his life would revolve around mealtimes. That's where he would get the majority of the joy in his life. And now he eats really clean, and he says his meals are kind of boring. He's okay with them, but they're nothing special. But it's the time between the meals that he's living his life. And I thought that's a really cool flip on typically how we're going to have to change your identity.
Yeah. And that's really interesting, because one of the mindsets, the little mind games that I've been playing with myself, that I've been employing is, you know, for Thanksgiving or Christmas, those holiday meals or whatever, or it's a little bit harder to navigate, and you know that family is going to be bringing a lot of food or whatever, and I may not have a whole lot to eat, and I'm okay with that, because I tell myself walking into that situation, I'm not here for the food. I'm here for you. I'm here for my family. I'm here for my loved ones. And walking in with that mindset really helps me to not be disappointed when, surprise, surprise, there's not a whole lot for me to eat. So might as well just, you know, got my little standby broccoli, I'll throw in the microwave and maybe some rice, and I'll be fine with it because I'm not here for the food.
Right. So how do you navigate, like, mindset wise, that's flipping amazing. I want to start using that myself, but how practically do you navigate those social situations?
Gosh, that's such a great question. And I'm finding that it varies from situation to situation, but one thing is I'll always try to find out, if things are going to be served, what's going to be served. And it's usually none of it's going to be something that accommodates me, and I'm okay with that. This is my choice. I don't expect everyone else to cater to my choice, but sometimes there's a salad or something like that. And I'll be like, hey, can you put the dressing on the side? And usually people are totally accommodating. So then I've got in my head, aha, now I've got some veggies. I will probably bring more veggies to add to the salad because let's be honest, most people don't know how to make a really good salad, right?
Yeah, they'll make a salad that's for 10 people. I'm like, I would eat all of this.
I know. And it's like got such minimal veggies in it too. Like,
yeah.
No. We need to make a meal out of this thing. So I'll bring some things in my purse or my bag that I know I can add to the salad or add to whatever other food sounds like I can eat. Sometimes there might be like, you know, the little veggie tray or something like that. And if there's not those things, then I will offer to bring them.
Hmm.
And again, that way I know I've got something, a building block. Those are building blocks. It's not my whole meal. And then I'll just bring, you know, broccoli to throw in the microwave. I don't know if you're hearing a theme here. Like, I am all about the broccoli. It's easy. I like it. It's fast. Throw it in the microwave. I've actually started traveling with my little microwave steamer. I just throw it in my carry-on, and wherever I land, I'll just buy some broccoli. And then I know that I can steam it for every meal if I have to. So that's one of the things that I do to navigate. I'm really trying to find some recipes that that work for me that other people will actually like. And I landed on one. It's kind of this mushroom quinoa pilaf that I've figured out I can make in my Instant Pot with no oil, and people seem to like it. So now I'm able to contribute something that not only I can eat, but other people will actually desire to eat. I've had people ask me for the recipe. So that's kind of exciting.
Mm.
It takes a lot of that one step at a time thing, where the first time you do it, you might do one little thing. And then next time you're like, well, that worked. What else can I add on to it? And those become building blocks. So I don't know if that helps, but
yeah, it's definitely helpful, because it's seeing that someone who has seen a lot of success, that is maintaining their weight loss, that got to their goal, the level of consistency that is actually required to do that. And I think that that's powerful for people, because when we go back to that theme of almost wanting to keep some of the elements that you've had that make up your past, but then having those results, wanting to have the results without the struggle, without the journey, this is where socially things really come to a head, because we don't want to give up those traditions. We don't want to be the weirdo. We don't want to go to an event that's not centered around food, because that's uncomfortable. That's not what we typically do. And hearing that you've done that, and you've done that in a very proactive way, and you actually enjoy your social situations more, is inspiring, because it shows what is necessary to be successful. And I truly believe that this is something that a lot of people need to get better at: having those hard conversations, ringing a restaurant in advance, asking someone, hey, can you put the dressing on the side, bringing food with you. All of those things, they're not normal, comfortable things. They're a little bit eccentric, but they work.
But here's something that I've been learning, is because you call that taking up space.
Yes.
Here recently, I've been seeing a physical therapist for my shoulder. I've had some shoulder issues. And the last time I went to see her, she was able to get me more mobility than I'd seen in a long time. And she said, I got off the table. I'm like, wow, I can definitely look at this. You know, I'm moving my shoulder, whatever. And she told me, she goes, you need to take up that space. And I was literally taken aback, because she used that. She said, take up space. And I'm like, that's what Chelsea says. But she said that my arm is now occupying some new space, and I need to keep moving and living in that, to keep reminding my tissues that it's supposed to be like that. Otherwise, it'll default to that protective mode again and shrink my mobility. And I literally walked away from that going, I just got a life lesson, because she was talking about ground that I had already gained, and that in occupying it, I was ensuring I would keep it. And this lesson has been lingering with me for weeks, because it was like, wow, the space that we need to take up, it's already ours. It doesn't belong to anybody else.
Hmm.
So we just need to get in there and stake the claim. Like it's move in ready.
Yeah. Oh, that's
wild.
And
if we don't take up that space, we will default to protective mode, and our mobility, our space will shrink.
Yeah. That's huge. I love that you're coming at that from a thought process of ownership. Cause like, yeah, I'm allowed to bring food with me. It's my food. I'm allowed to have a conversation about what I want to eat. It's what I want to put in my body. But so many of us just default to, I'm not in control of what goes into my body. I'm not in control of my circumstances. But you already have that space. Like you said, you just need to occupy it. That's powerful.
Yeah. And I didn't see that I had that space for most of my life.
Now you're in Colorado.
I am taking up space in Colorado.
Crazy. So we're going to wrap this up. This has been hugely valuable. There's so many little takeaways and nuggets that I'm going to use in my own life. I want to hear, narrowing this down to three pieces of advice for someone who they've done a lot of starvation diets, they've felt a lot of restriction, they've felt like a failure in the past from everything that they've tried. What would you say to that person?
Three pieces of advice. Your metabolism isn't broken. You aren't broken. It's your system that's broken. I'll just put it out there. I'm going through menopause. There, I said it. And we always hear like, you can't lose weight. In fact, you gain weight and blah, blah, blah. I have been successful. Like I started menopause the same time I started your program.
Mm.
So it's not my metabolism or the time of life or whatever. None of that's broken. things might slow down for me a little bit, but it's not broken. And I'm not the broken one. It wasn't me. I thought it was me all of these years. I thought it was me, but it was my system. And I've shaped my environment. And I've created some processes, and I have my daily routine in place that now it just literally ushers me into success. I don't even have to work for it anymore. So I would say those are my three pieces of advice.
I love that. And then so systems wise, what is one change that someone listening to this can make that you believe is going to have the most impact for them to get started?
Do something. It doesn't have to be big. In fact, it shouldn't be big. Big feels insurmountable. Make it small. Just take one step toward what you want. Take one step down the road that you want. Because that other road, you know where that leads. You've been down that road before. You know where it leads. Just take one step toward what you want, that other road, and you will find that step kind of gave you courage. And here's the thing, you guys, I am nothing special. I'm just like everyone listening. I have joys and fears, and I laugh and I cry. I have triumphs and I fall on my face. Living lean with plants isn't some elite club that's accessible only to the rich or the highly disciplined or people with a certain metabolism. You don't have to apply and be approved for the keys to the kingdom. And you don't even need a special education or invitation. You don't have to fight your way in like it's an escape room, but in reverse. You don't have to solve a great mystery to gain access. It's for every woman. So don't think that you're exempt just because you, whatever, fill in the blank with whatever your excuse is or whatever lie you've been believing all of your life.
Yeah.
These are just, it's simple concepts that you can apply and live by. And the more that you set your environment up that way, your environment will usher you into further success. And ta-da, there, then you might, I don't know, end up on this very podcast with Chelsea.
On that beautiful note, I want to say thank you so much for being on the podcast today. This has been incredible to hear your story, to just see how much you have changed. I'm so flipping proud of you and just feel so much excitement for you in the years ahead as you navigate being this new person. So thank you so much, Trace.
Thank you. It has absolutely been an honor and a privilege. Not just to be on this podcast with you, like I cannot believe that I'm here, but just that I've gotten to be a part of your community. It's just been an absolute privilege, and it's changed my life.